A reading from the letter to the Romans. Since we are justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have obtained access to this grace in which we stand. And we boast in our hope of sharing the glory of God. And not only that, but we also boast in our sufferings, knowing that suffering produces endurance, and endurance produces character, and character produces hope, and hope does not disappoint us, because God's love has been poured into our hearts through the Holy Spirit that has been given to us. For while we were still weak, at the right time Christ died for the ungodly. Indeed, rarely will anyone die for a righteous person, though perhaps for a good person someone might actually dare to die. But God proves his love for us in that while we still were sinners, Christ died for us. Much more surely then, now that we have been justified by his blood, will we be saved through him from the wrath of God. For if while we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his Son, much more surely, having been reconciled, will we be saved by his life. But more than that, we even boast in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received reconciliation. The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
reading from the Gospel according to John. Jesus came to a Samaritan city called Sychar, near the plot of ground that Jacob had given to his son Joseph. Jacob's well was there, and Jesus, tired out by his journey, was sitting by the well. It was about noon. A Samaritan woman came to draw water, and Jesus said to her, "Give me a drink." His disciples had gone to the city to buy food. The Samaritan woman said to him, "How is it that you, a Jew, asked a drink of me, a woman of Samaria?" Jews do not share things in common with the Samaritans. Jesus answered her, "If you knew the gift of God and who it is that is saying to you, 'Give me a drink,' you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water." The woman said to him, "Sir, you have no bucket, and the well is deep. Where do you get that living water? Are you greater than our ancestor Jacob, who gave us the well, and with his sons and his flocks drank from it?" Jesus said to her, "Everyone who drinks of this water will be thirsty again. But those who drink of the water that I will give them will never be thirsty. The water that I will give will come in them a spring of water gushing up to eternal life." The woman said to him, "Sir, give me this water so that I may never be thirsty or have to keep coming here to draw water." Jesus said to her, "Go, call your husband and come back." The woman answered him, "I have no husband." Jesus said to her, "You are right in saying I have no husband. For you have had five husbands, and the one you have now is not your husband. What you have said is true." The woman said to him, "Sir, I see that you are a prophet. Our ancestors worshipped on this mountain, but you say that the place where people must worship is in Jerusalem." Jesus said to her, "Woman, believe me, the hour is coming when you will not worship, when you will worship the Father neither on this mountain nor in Jerusalem. You worship what you do not know. We worship what we know, for salvation is from the Jews. But the hour is coming, and is now here, when the true worshipers will worship the Father in spirit and truth. For the Father seeks such as these to worship him. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship in spirit and truth." The woman said to him, "I know that Messiah is coming, who is called Christ. When he comes, he will proclaim all things to us." Jesus said to her, "I am he, the one who is speaking to you." Just then his disciples came. They were astonished that he was speaking with a woman, but no one said, "What do you want?" or "Why are you speaking with her?" Then the woman left her water jar and went back to the city. She said to the people, "Come and see a man who told me everything I have ever done. He cannot be the Messiah, can he?" They left the city and were on their way to him. Meanwhile, the disciples were urging him, "Rabbi, eat something." But he said to them, "I have food to eat that you do not know about." So the disciples said to one another, "Surely no one has brought him something to eat." Jesus said to them, "My food is to do the will of him who sent me and to complete his work. Do you not say 4 months more, then comes the harvest? But I tell you, look around you and see how the fields are ripe for harvesting. The reaper is already receiving wages and is gathering fruit for eternal life, so that sower and reaper may rejoice together. For here the saying holds true, one sows and another reaps. I sent you to reap that for which you did not labor. Others have labored, and you have entered into their labor." Many Samaritans from that city believed in him because of the woman's testimony, "He told me everything I have ever done." So when the Samaritans came to him, they asked him to stay with them, and he stayed there 2 days. And many more believed because of his word. They said to the woman, "It is no longer because of what you said that we believe, for we have heard for ourselves, and we know that this is truly the Savior of the world." The word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
A warm welcome to all of you. My name is Kate Moorhead, and I'm the dean here at this cathedral. And we are so honored to be having a service as part of the Week of Christian Unity. Now, this Week of Christian Unity has been going on for almost 100 years. And I just want to clarify who some of these amazing people are up here. Of course, we welcome our bishop, Bishop Howard, with us tonight. The Most Reverend Felipe Estevez, Bishop of the Catholic Diocese of St. Augustine, is here with us tonight. Bishop Robert Schaefer of the Evangelical Lutheran Church in America, welcome, sir. Bishop Emeritus Demetrios of Xanthos, Ecumenical Patriarchate, Greek Orthodox Archdiocese of America, so welcome to you. The Reverend Dr. Russell Meyer, who's the Executive Director of the Florida Council of Churches, thank you for being with us. Reverend Alexandra Hedrick, who is the stated clerk of the Presbyterian Church, St. Augustine Presbytery. Our assisting bishop, the Right Reverend Charles Kaiser, is here with us, and also our assisting bishop, the Right Reverend Dorsey Henderson. The Reverend Canon Robert Lee, who is our canon for outreach and ecumenism in the Diocese of Florida. The Reverend Deacon David Williams, Chancellor and Diocesan Ecumenical Officer in the Catholic Diocese of St. Augustine. Father Alberto Esposito, Associate Diocesan Ecumenical Officer in the Catholic Diocese of St. Augustine. And last but not least, the man who has perhaps worked the hardest to bring this all together, Dr. Chow Fan, who is Associate Diocesan Ecumenical Officer in the Catholic Diocese of St. Augustine. Welcome to all of you. What a blessing it is to see all these wonderful leaders gathered here with us tonight. And in a time in this world in which we struggle with so much persecution and violence against Christians across the world, let us give thanks that we're one together tonight. Walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself for us, an offering and a sacrifice to God.
Thank you. Take my lips and speak through them. Take our minds and think through them. Take our hearts and set them on fire with love for thee. Amen.
Amen.
Welcome, all of you who have come here this evening. Welcome to the leaders of our churches in this portion of God's kingdom. To all who have worked so hard to make this evening possible, the dean of our cathedral, the committee who have worked together to design our worship. Tonight, we come together in humility and gratitude. Humility and gratitude. Humbled that we are hosting this ecumenical gathering and celebration and that we have the privilege of coming together as Christians. Grateful to be together. Grateful that you are here with us in this cathedral, honoring us with your presence and giving us the grace of your prayers. Humbled that our several ecclesial structures, so often existing as separate entities, isolated from one another in worship and in service, are together this evening. And grateful that the Lord Jesus Christ is present in each of our ministries and unites us by our faith in him, in spite of the distance we may choose to put between ourselves. After all, we are all here as saints of God, people whose lives have been claimed by the love of Christ and whose prayers for one another are heard by Almighty God himself. We are here as members of the Church of Jesus Christ. Each of us and the denominations which we represent having a special relationship with God through his Son. And because of that, we have a special relationship with one another. And we are here in the power of the Holy Spirit, recognizing and knowing that of our own power and accord, without his grace, we cannot do those things which are pleasing to God. But knowing that because we live in the Spirit, there are no limits on our faithfulness or on the good things which we can do together in the name of Jesus. The gospel lesson for this evening, the account of Jesus' conversation with the Samaritan woman at the well, opens the door for us to consider our relationships. Our relationships with God and our relationships with one another. In this story of Jesus and the woman at the well, we're asked to think about how it is that we know God and how and why we worship him. And we're asked to consider our need as men and women of the church for hope, especially when we find ourselves separated, lost, drifting, seeking answers to questions of purpose and of meaning. The story of Jesus and the Samaritan woman therefore causes us to think together as Christians from a number of different traditions and churches about our never-ceasing search for hope, and especially of our hope for Christian unity. The first observation I would offer about the account of the woman at the well is that she is a very modern woman. I would be so bold as to say that she dwells in post-modernity if I really knew what that word means. You and I are acquainted with this woman. We know her. We may work with her. She may be our best friend or even our wife or daughter. Jesus met her on a daily trip to fetch water at Jacob's well. You and I meet her in line at Starbucks, where she makes her daily stop for a latte. Like many people we know, she has a complicated, even a messy life. She has left a trail of lost love and broken relationships in her wake. Bewildered by conflicting understandings of the church and of spirituality, she questions the very foundations of the religions she sees around her, including her own. She is not shy. She's unafraid to ask questions, to seek out the answers she wants. There are moments when she's theologically pushed, and she's not afraid to push back. She has led a complicated and, in some respects, broken life. She has known despair and failure, and now finds herself come face to face with one who recognizes all of this, who touches at the core of her existence, and who then dares to speak a word of truth and a word of hope and a word of meaning into the complexity and confusion of her existence. The woman at the well is the one in the pew. No, strike that. Not in the pew. She's the woman, the man, the adolescent at Starbucks or in Publix, with whom we may never have the opportunity to visit unless we, like Jesus, who asked her for a cup of water, create the moment, create the opportunity for conversation. Is it not a search for hope which brings you and me to church week after week? Is it not our search for hope which prompts us to ask difficult questions of our religious leaders? Is it not a search for hope which brings those to whom we minister into the pews and onto their knees in worship and in prayer? Is it not a search for hope which ultimately brings each of us who are blessed enough to be here into a relationship in God through Jesus Christ? Like the woman at the well, it may be a family situation or the messiness of personal life. You longed for a family life right out of Robert Young, Jane Wyatt, and Father Knows Best, but in reality, you've ended up with something a little different and disappointing. Like the woman at the well, it may be the burden of mistakes, misjudgments, and errors made when you were young, which you still carry around like weights, which make you believe there is no hope for us. Maybe, like the woman at the well, we carry the weight of worry about whether our relationship with God and our neighbor can ever be put right, can be reconciled, and as the years go by, we become more and more uncertain as to whether we know or understand spiritual truth at all. In our individual lives and in the lives of our churches, we all are thirsty for hope. We all know discouragement. We all fear that no matter how hard we try, we are going to fall short. And then Jesus comes. Then Jesus comes to us beside the wells of our lives, sits down, and begins by asking us first to serve Him. Give me something to drink. And then the conversation begins. And he continues, challenging the superficiality of our religion, our focus on the externalities, the forms, the locations of worship, telling us that true worship does not depend on the location or layout of the church or on how the candles on the altar are arrayed, but is relational. True worshipers, he says to us, worship the Father in spirit and in truth. They are the kind of worshipers the Father seeks. And he lets us know just how well he knows us. Our complexities, our complications, dare I say it, our sinfulness. Have we had five wives or husbands? Have our lives been a never-ending stream of bad choices? And when we dare to listen, we too, like the Samaritan woman, turn away, marveling at how well he knows us, how astutely he has diagnosed the presenting ailments of our lives. He knows us. He knows what we need. He recognizes our thirst. He offers us the water which overflows and gives eternal life. He pushes us and he prods us. He gives us himself, offering not religion, but relationship. And thereby he transforms us. Thereby he gives us hope. Not rules, but mercy, grace, and a way of life grounded in him. He points the way to true life and to true worship. In him, our worship will not be confined by boundaries of place or time or things. Our worship will not be simply a few moments on Sunday morning in splendid isolation. Our worship, rather, will be rooted in our relationship with him and with one another. It will not consist of coming to a certain place at a certain time, nor in going through a particular ritual. Like that very modern, complex, questioning woman at the well, we will, in relationship with Jesus, recognize the truth of what Paul said when he wrote to the Romans that God shows his love for us and that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. And we in the church, in the various churches, will be pushed theologically. We will be challenged personally. We will be humbled. We will be driven into conversation with people we might rather not talk to. We will be driven to examine thinking and ways of life that are not comfortable for us. We in the church, too, will be accepted in the midst of our unworthiness, loved in order that we might be lovable, forgiven, humbled, grateful. And by the grace of God in Jesus Christ, our one Lord, forever transformed.
Lord, you are the source of love, peace, and reconciliation.
Gather together your separate people.
For Christian churches and communities, that they may be faithful witnesses to the gospel.
Gather together your separated people.
For church leaders everywhere, that they may work together and promote unity among Christians.
Gather together your separated people.
Across all our mutual ignorance, prejudice, and hostility.
Gather together your separated people.
Across all our differences of thought, outlook, and religious allegiance.
Gather together your separated people.
That we may be a community of love, bound together by your word and our works.
Gather together your separated people.
that we may hear and heal each other as we cry out to you.
O God, for your greater glory.
That we may lift our voices as one.
For our Christian brothers and sisters who are suffering persecution and death throughout the world because they profess the name of Jesus.
Together, let us pray. God, Father, come and hear your word, heed the prayer of Jesus.
Let his followers be one. We come here to sing and pray together in Jesus' name. We ask you to bless us, deepening in faith, enduring hope, and selfless love. Give us hearts ready to find you and love you.
Pray for the unity of the church. Almighty Father, whose blessed Son before his passion prayed for his disciples that they might be one as you and he are one, grant that your church, being bound together in love and obedience to you, may be united in one body by the one Spirit, that the world may believe in him whom you have sent, your Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the unity of the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever.
Amen.
Let us pray for Christians around the world who live with oppression and persecution. Let us pray for the persecuted church, for their oppressors, for nations that foster persecution, and for those who ignore it. In our prayer for persecuted Christians, let us not narrow our compassion for all who suffer, whatever their profession or creed. Let no hatred or prejudice enter our hearts for anyone. Called by the Holy Spirit to unity with the persecuted, let us enter into their suffering, repenting of our ignorance, refusing to be silent, ready to reach out to them in their isolation. This we pray in the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
In conclusion, let us pray, giving thanks for the resurrection of Jesus Christ, our Lord. O God, who by the glorious resurrection of your Son, Jesus Christ, destroyed death and brought life and immortality to light, grant that we who have been raised with him may abide in his presence and rejoice in the hope of eternal glory. Through Jesus Christ, our Lord, to whom with you and the Holy Spirit be dominion and praise forever and ever.
Amen. Amen.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. The Lord lift his countenance upon you and give you peace. And may the blessing of God Almighty, the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit be amongst you and remain with you always.
Amen.